I've never met anybody who does that. You wash dogs. Very cool.
That's one aspect of small pet grooming. What do you do?
I am a bank teller. Brian told me to always tell women you work in finance.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you for a special pre-free agency Monday edition of the show. Before we get into everything, we got to take care of the housekeeping. So first things first, you can follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Hit the subscribe button, 5 stars, unsubscribe, resubscribe, get our numbers up, get our ratings up. We love talking to you guys every week. Weiss, hello, happy Sunday.
Hello, Ethan. No better way to spend Sunday than talking giant football.
Absolutely.
As we inch closer to a free agency.
Exactly, especially with the weather the way it is, you know, daylight savings. I'm tired, sitting here, it's rainy outside. I don't really want to leave my apartment, so I can just yell into a microphone at you with this nice little coffee by my side. We got a lot to talk about. We haven't done the show in a few weeks, so we've missed some of the, I'll say, more marquee stories, but obviously
the last episode we did was right before the combine started, or like a couple
yes.
days before. Yeah.
So, the number one Giants news topic, the Landon Collins trade.
Right.
I don't know how long we have to spend on this because I feel like it's been beaten to death, but we're a Giants podcast. We're going to touch on it. My feelings on the trade haven't changed. We went back and forth last time. I think it was the day of the Josina Anderson rumors, basically on how each of us valued Landon Collins. And we differed in our assessment of him as a player. And that's all well and good. My stance on the Collins issue has been pretty much the same from day one. It's the same right now as we're recording this podcast. I'm hesitant to dole out the money that he wanted on a long-term deal for a player with his limitations. But that does not take away from the fact that, yet again, Dave Gettleman, and kudos to him for the Zeitler trade, we're going to get into that later, missed a very obvious opportunity to trade Landon Collins for a third-round pick. Matt Miller came out and said that they were offered a first-round pick. That's bullshit.
I don't buy that.
That is absolute bullshit. Do not listen to that rumor. That is absolutely, first of all, he's the only one reporting it. Yeah. Second of all, there's no way the Giants turned down a first round pick for Landon Collins after having to settle for a third and a fourth for a fourth and a sixth for Snacks and Apple. So there's just
fourth and a fifth.
Sorry.
Yeah.
There's just no way they're turning down a first round pick. So don't buy into that. That's nonsense. There no two, you know, social media Giants fans, whatever, are as critical of Dave Gettleman as we are.
Yeah,
that's bullshit. Don't buy into that.
I won't buy that at all.
So, you know, again,
not only giving up a first round pick, but then having to pay.
Right.
Him, you know, sorry.
Exactly. So totally, you know, on the same page with Dave Gettleman on not wanting to give him the contract that he was looking for. Never will fault a player for going out and wanting his money. I wish Landon Collins the best in free agency. I am a betting man, as many of you know. I will bet a lot of money he ends up on the Washington Redskins. Sean Taylor, that Ooh. Whole thing, 100% going to end up on the Redskins. So blessing and a curse. He's going to lay out some people, but he's also going to get toasted by Evan Engram and Saquon Barkley in coverage. So you got to take the go with the, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, some so you like that. Shots. You like that.
Wow.
I'm saying, wow. Listen, I think there's a very good chance he ends up on the Redskins. Best of luck to him. Dave Gettleman should have gotten a third, not worth whatever he's going to get in free agency. That's where I stand on the matter.
Wow, Ethan, there you go, running circles for the Giants. That rare rare Ethan running circles. It's a mistake, I think. I said it last week or a couple weeks ago. I still think it is.
You know how I do. I'm a shill for the organization, of course.
I think it's a mistake. I mean, Landon Collins is 25. He's just entering the prime of his career. He's great at what he's good at, or he's great at his strong qualities. I think that a box safety like that who can play sideline to sideline, is he a great coverage guy? No. Playing man to man is not his strong strength, but I think the right decision was to lock him up long term, get a free safety in there either via the draft or free agency that's not incompetent or is capable of playing the free safety position, and go from there. This is a team that hasn't drafted well in a long time. This is a defensive player, is probably the best defensive player they drafted since probably Jason Pierre-Paul. I know some people said Linval Joseph, but I think JPP sort of was a better player than Linval. And then this whole notion that Gettleman doesn't value defensive backs, I don't buy it. And people point to the Josh Norman sort of situation, how he pulled the tag. I think the Josh Norman situation was he just wanted more than what they were offering. And the Giants never made a real offer to Landon Collins. And like you brought up, trading him at the deadline, I think the third round pick, I believe that report, just because the whole fourth round pick that was being reported after the franchise tag deadline this past week, it sort of came out after that. So I'm not buying what Dave Gettleman is saying in regards to, you know, how the money and this and playing the poor card when you have guys like Eli Manning, who's a guy like Eli Manning making $23 million. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. Plus, they were able to sign Odell Beckham to a contract extension right before the season last year.
$6 million cap space.
Yeah, they only had like $6, $9 million in cap space. So you can always find ways to structure a contract. The Giants have a lot of cap. Believe it or not, the Giants are very cap flexible after this season because they're going to have Eli Manning off the books, and hopefully he's off the books for good. So I just don't buy it. You can structure a contract where you can have a low cap hit this year and you can back end it with the high cap hits coming in later years. But I don't agree with it, man. You don't let a guy like that go regardless of his limitations. But it's a decision the Giants made. It creates yet another hole on the defense. And you could essentially pick any spot you want to pick on the defense and, you know, decide which one is the weakest part.
So let's talk about that for a second, yeah. Unless you have any other landing points. But
well, the only point that I had was with the whole Gettleman doesn't value, you know, defensive backs.
Right.
He pulled the tag from Josh Norman, right? That year, he had 5 draft picks. You know how many he used on cornerbacks? 3. So you know what that makes me think? That makes me think that it's not that he doesn't value cornerbacks or defensive backs. He values defensive backs that only he drafts. So that's just
either that or he's not a big believer in paying the right. He values secondary like we value running backs, right? So, There's no point in paying them big bucks because he basically thinks that they're replaceable.
I get that, but you're telling me that, you know, paying $9, $10 million, $11 million a year is less valuable than using a second and a third and then even a fifth on a cornerback in one draft class. So it sort of depends on how you value the money versus the assets. So I don't know. Typically when you use, you know, second, thirds on, you know, a player or a position, that typically means that those are guys that you plan on. Those are building blocks for your team. They're going to be starters. Use high picks on them. And then just for them to only be like sort of the 5-year guys where they go and then you find the replacement, that doesn't work. I don't think that makes sense, but I just don't agree with it. I don't think you let go of Landon Collins, but it's a decision that they made. So now we have to see how they sort of fix this.
Now, going back to what you said about a minute or two ago on the Giants defense and sort of picking your holes, right? Let's assume, and you know, we knew that this was sort of in the works for a few days, the OV Zeitler trade, right? So let's assume that Vernon's out the door anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We've been harping on it all offseason. We harped on it last year, harped on it at the trade deadline when they got rid of Eli Apple, they got rid of Snacks, right? This defense has like what, 8 holes at least?
Yeah,
and even the holes that are plugged where we have sort of certainty at the position, we agree that some of the players that are there are overpaid or not worth their contract, or would honestly be better off if they were off the roster and we just sort of plug and play with some young guys, right? So like, I get what you're saying, and honestly, I tweeted this out like honestly only half joking yesterday, but this season is setting up perfectly for Eli Manning to come back in future years because all they need is a right tackle. And if Eli, even if like they're right, this could be like the Eli of like 2 or 3 years ago. I forget which season it was, where the defense was just so fucking terrible that the offense was always on the field. And people are just going to point to the stats and the numbers, and he's going to be like, padding his stats like, oh, they were the number one, you know, NFC East offense, even though they were 17th in the league. This guy's going to have Solder at left tackle, second year of Hernandez. He's going to have Zeitler, Jalapios, whatever. Very good chance they either draft a good right tackle or sign one in free agency. Then he's got Odell, Engram, Saquon, and Shepard in a contract year. It's almost impossible for this guy not to put up like good enough numbers to be brought back.
I mean, I don't.
And it's because the defense is going to be so terrible.
Well, if they take a quarterback, I think that changes everything. But I'm not even confident that Eli Manning can have a great year, even with, you know, a more stable offensive line.
But here's the thing: we're talking about a great year versus a great statistical year. Because you know this, you know the arguments that the Eli truthers make about how he had, you know, 4,300 yards and his highest completion percentage. Yeah, and that's only going to get better next year.
But I think that if they're losing games, I just don't think you can justify bringing him back this year.
Me neither.
Having another losing season and then giving him a contract extension.
I don't want any of this getting twisted. This is not my opinion on any of the quarterback issues, which you guys are well aware of. Has not changed. I'm simply saying if the defense is going to be arguably as bad, if not worse, as last year's, and we're getting better pieces on offense, plus the maturation of some players who played well on offense last year, but are, you know, either finding their way in Shermer's scheme or just need a little bit more development in the NFL, like Hernandez year two, Engram in the second year of Shermer's scheme, right? Like, this is setting up for a good, very good statistical year for Eli. Not to say that his cap hit's too high, that he's, you know, still can't make the throws. The issues are still going to be the same. All I'm simply pointing out is that those who want Eli are probably going to have a stronger argument this year than last year. Tell me you can't see it.
I mean,
the defense has given up 35 points a game and Eli's chucking down a Barkley, throwing, you know, 5-yard routes to Beckham. Tell me you can't see this.
If they make the playoffs with Eli Manning next year, then, you know, I will certainly be the first one to tell you how wrong I was. But I think this is going to come down to one thing, and that is, you know, let's play like you're talking about hypothetically they don't take a quarterback this year, right? And Eli Manning has an okay year, right?
We've agreed that with the talent the Giants have on offense, and given how shit some of the other teams are, right? And this was the problem with skipping on a quarterback at 2 and the potential of them skipping on another one at 6 is that these types of high picks don't come around very often because of the parity in the league. And the Giants aren't going to be bad enough to be picking in the top 5 again.
No, and they're not. If you look at their offense, like right now, take away the fact that they're still a question mark at right tackle. And even with Eli Manning at quarterback, like they could possibly, and the defense being a question mark, they could win 6 games next year.
Oh, easily.
Like, I really do think that. So when you factor that in, and then you look at the division that they're playing the AFC East. So outside of New England, those other three teams are sort of like where the Giants are, right? They have a lot of question marks. They're not good. They don't have talent. And obviously that could change, you know, before we go into next season. But it's turning out to be a very easy schedule. But still, man, I just don't like, even if they go out and they pay, get a high money right tackle in there, I still don't think Eli Manning can have a statistical year that can even make the Giants consider, you know, hey, we should bring this guy back.
I certainly hope not.
I don't, because I just think that it's at a point with Eli where we're starting to see leaks come out of the organization. Like I read the other day that they're, you know, Dave Gettleman's personal opinion of Eli, like behind closed doors, is much more different than what he's sort of putting out there. Like, they're all sort of like caping for Eli, and the narrative on Eli has been bad over the last 4 years and yada yada yada, blah blah blah. But I don't think that's how they feel on the inside. I think Gettleman has sort of dropped hints that, hey, you know, the Kansas City model, which, by the way, it's completely nonsense, but just stuff like that of, hey, hinting that, hey, I want to get that next young quarterback in there. I think that, to me, that's sort of telling, because the one thing about the Giants is they're not good at hiding anything.
True. You know, but there's also the fact that Gettleman came out and flat out said, yeah, there's no greater gift I can give than leaving the team with a future franchise quarterback.
Right there. And what's the one thing that you and I have been talking about?
That they'll probably draft Daniel Jones at 6.
No. What I'm referring to is more so the thing that you and I have been talking about is like Dave Gettleman's legacy here will be determined on how he leaves the franchise and who the quarterback is.
Right.
Like if he finds a franchise quarterback, right, that makes the Giants competitive and competing year in and year out, like nothing else will matter. Like nobody will care about the missed draft picks or nobody will care about Landon Collins and letting him go because if he finds that quarterback, I mean, it's said Ernie, of course he had some bad drafts too, but because he got Eli and because Eli won this organization 2 Super Bowls, you know, it's sort of all that doesn't get talked about. So it's the same concept with Gettleman, in my opinion. And I think that he sort of dropped those hints last week about, hey, I mean, he dropped the biggest hint about the franchise tag, right? After everyone said, there's no way they don't franchise tag Landon Collins, right? Like when Josina Anderson reported that stuff, right?
Everyone came out.
And, I was like, there's no way they're going to tag Collins, yada, yada, yada. Gettleman stands up there and basically says, you know, basically,
well, you're wrong.
I might not do this. And he didn't do it. So you have to sort of take what he's saying. It's not just talk. He does drop hints. And he dropped a lot of hints about the quarterback position last year. Or last week at the combine, so I think they're really interested in taking a quarterback this year. Hopefully, it's the right one.
Hopefully. All right. Next up, the AB trade.
OV trade.
We'll talk AB trade after.
Yeah.
OV trade.
So my week started off really bad as a Giants fan. Like I was so pissed off.
Yep.
But it ended really, really good. I love this trade. These are the type of moves that when we talked about replacing Jerry Reese and getting another GM, these are the type of proactive, smart, out of the box because we rarely see that player for player trade.
Yep.
These are the type of things I like. Think about it. They were going to cut OV, right? Most likely. They trade him for a top-notch offensive guard.
No, elite.
Elite, yeah. And in the process, in the process, they freed up $1.5 million in cap space. Now they still have holes in the defense. Their defense is still bad. But guess what? It was still going to be bad with OV there. It wasn't like OV was that much of a difference maker.
He's not Khalil Mack.
Right. Good player, but not that big of a difference maker. So you free up $1.5 million in cap space. You get an elite guard. You don't impact the compensatory pick formula because a player for player trades, they don't impact that. You win. And all this because you were going to end up cutting a player, you got all this back for him.
Yes.
You shore up your offensive line. The offensive line is a lot better, especially the interior. And you're basically a right tackle away, I think, from having a very good offensive line in this league. I think that when you look around the league and you look at, you know, all the offensive lines, I think just on paper, the Giants can get a competitive right tackle who can play the position. That's a really good offensive line. So to me, I love the move. It's great. I don't care about the swapping of the 4 and the 5. Listen, that doesn't matter to me at all.
Yeah, and who cares? Because you know they're going to do whatever with these picks anyway.
Right.
Probably going to trade them, try to move them, whatever it is. Right. Here's the thing, right? So a lot of people tell us that all we do is shit on the Giants, shit on Gettleman. No, because we both were like, holy shit. We were texting throughout the day. We love this move. We think it's a literal home run, grand slam, whatever, you know, baseball analogy you want to use here for the football. There's no doubt about it. The Giants are winners here. I think very underrated. So are the Browns. He's good, right? We're talking about this pre-show. He was never going to live up to his contract, but he was never going to be a total disappointment. They got a good pass rusher to play opposite Myles Garrett. And not only that, right? They said that they've basically had in their plans, I forget the guy's name, Austin Corbett, second round pick?
Yeah, he's taken right before Will Hernandez.
Yeah. So, you know, they really have a guy who they feel can step in there and replace him, right? Win-win for both teams. Massive L for the Browns fans who thought earlier in the week they were getting Odell Beckham. But again, I mean, Liz, you brought up the point. Like, they're very close to having a very, very good offensive line. However,
very good.
They need, right? So they obviously need the right tackle. There's no doubt about that. But again, it's the NFL. injuries happen. And we spoke about this last year and the year before that, where they had solid groups in areas that, you know, they had potential to be top 10 in the league in these areas, right? Mm-hmm. Football is a crazy sport. Guys get cut. Injuries happen every single practice, every single, you know, training camp, this, that, and the other thing. First week of the game, someone can roll up on your ankle and you could be done for 7 weeks. They need depth, because as soon as one of these guys goes down, we're back to a shit offensive line. The good teams in the league, and you look at the Rams as the prime example, because, hey, the Giants got Jaymon Brown because they had good enough depth over there that they could plug and play when Jaymon got hurt. So we should talk about Jaymon as well. But great trade, very good step in the right direction, a home run trade for Dave Gettleman. And it's perplexing that he's able to get value out of a situation like this when he's losing Landon Collins for nothing. But at the end of the day, they got a top five offensive guard in the league. I'm not going to complain. Great for Eli. Great for Saquon Barkley. I think, honestly, especially for Saquon, because now you got two maulers on the interior and Saquon's going to actually have time to run between the tackles.
Right. And another thing is, like, the most underrated part about this is that they were able to get a really good offensive lineman without, you know, impacting the compensatory pick for them.
Right.
Because now losing Colin, now this trade doesn't impact that. So you fill a hole.
That's actually a very underrated point. Exactly. Wow. I didn't even realize that.
So it's awesome that he was able, this is like, that's what's our proactive approach. Don't wait for Zeitler to get released to go and try to sign him. Make the trade. And that's what you did. And
same goes for the Browns.
Yeah. A rare win-win.
Yes.
Player for player, rare.
Player for player, both teams. The money was pretty much equal. Both teams saved their compensatory options and both fill an area of need.
And listen, OV goes to the Browns, where they have Myles Garrett. He'll line up opposite side of him. They have a good interior defensive line. He won't garner as much attention as he was garnering here. Won't have to play the likes of Jason Peters, Trent Williams, Tyron Smith six times a year. I mean, this is, you know, OV could have a 10, 11, you know, sack season.
Yep.
And Zeitler will come in here and shore up the interior of the offensive line, and everybody's happy, and away we go.
All right. A rare positive talking point on the show.
Yes. It's a great draft. It's a great, great trade.
Agree. Really,
this is the type of moves that I want to see Gettleman make.
Very, very true. AB trade went down last night.
Yeah. It's wild.
I mean, love it. I got a lot of respect for Antonio Brown, and sort of goes back to what we've spoken about in the past on, you know, fans supporting billionaire owners for, you know, no reason really. You know, we're talking about a league where players have very little control, right? We're talking about a league where guaranteed contracts are an exception, like an exception, and not the norm. And a league where you could be cut at the drop of a hat, and a league where if a team wants and, you know, they can't come to an agreement on your long-term contract, can just say, you know what, that fucking sucks. Boom, franchise tag, you're stuck here. And to watch a player, and I forget the guy's name, Trevor Sekema, who I honestly have no idea who this guy is. He just kept popping up in my timeline because people were liking his tweets. So I said, fuck it. And I followed him. He made a very, very good point about how Antonio Brown basically created his own free agency, right?
Yes.
Now, you can go on and on about how he's a diva, he's a locker room cancer, this, that, and the other thing, right? There's no doubt about it that there are some issues with the Steelers locker room, whether it's whether it's Tomlin's control, whether it's Lev Bell, Antonio Brown, and oh, by the way, Big Ben is not blameless in this situation. I'm sure
the ultimate diva in my opinion.
Yes, yes.
And I can break all that down for everybody.
Perfect. So please do.
Yes, I will.
But, you know, would I want Antonio Brown on the Giants right now? Probably not, given his cap hit, given his personality mixed with Odell. You know, the Giants already have a top three receiver. Would it be great? Sure. At the money and the possibility of the distraction, you know, I'll probably pass on that. But there's no doubt about it that I respect Antonio Brown for going out there, getting his money, getting his worth. Don't understand people siding with the billionaire owners over the players who can get injured. Their careers could be over after one play, right? Go out there, get your money any way you can, whether it's going on The Masked Singer, whether it's, you know, dyeing your beard blonde and doing interviews with ESPN or whoever it is, right? Do what you need to do to get your money. And let's not pretend that, you know, Antonio Brown going from the Steelers to the Raiders is like a huge organizational downgrade, okay? Because the Steelers have had good defenses, top five offensive lines, Lev Bell, Big Ben, and Antonio Brown, and they haven't won a Super Bowl with any of that on the roster. So people are acting like it's like some huge organizational downgrade. I feel like the Steelers, for whatever reason, and maybe it's because they're sort of held in that regard like the New York Giants, always get a pass. But come on, they haven't won shit. The Patriots are their daddy. And, you know, it's not like some big deal that he's going to rot away in Vegas. You know, I think we're all starting to see, you know, Mayock and Gruden's vision. I may not agree with everything, but if you look at the trade and the assets that they hold now, I mean, they're set up to build a quality team in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's unprecedented, uncharted water, in my opinion, for the NFL when a player under contract essentially tells the team, I don't want to be here anymore, and you're going to trade me to a team that I approve of. The guy was traded to Buffalo, basically. And basically told Buffalo, told the Steelers, I'm not going to Buffalo, I'm going to retire. Buffalo then, they backed out.
Yep.
So he goes to Oakland, and on top of going to Oakland, he gets paid. This guy went from having zero guaranteed dollars now to have an additional $30 million in guaranteed dollars. So he won there. He goes to a place that he wanted to go to, or one of the places that he wanted to go to. The Steelers don't get compensated, you know, for what they probably would have been compensated for a top five receiver in this league. And I know he's 30 years old, 31 years old, and has a high contract. But they only got a third and a fifth. You know, they didn't even get a second for him. So we see in the NBA. Like, we see Anthony Davis essentially, you know, 2 years left on his contract saying, I don't want to be here, just trade me now.
Yeah.
That's now. For the NFL, this is the first time we've really seen it. Gronk did it last year when the Patriots were going to, I think, trade him to the Lions. He said, I'll retire. But that was because Gronk wanted to stay in New England. Right. Antonio Brown said, I don't want to be in Pittsburgh, right? I'm not going to be here in Pittsburgh. I will retire, right?
Yep.
And if you trade, and when you do trade me, by the way, you're going to trade me to a team that I want to go to, and that team is going to give me a contract extension that I want. Unprecedented. I'm anxious to see what other NFL player tries this or attempts to do something similar like this. I don't think
you should make owners uneasy.
Very much. This is not something that you can narrow down to just wide receivers. I think players on the franchise tag. I mean, think about what happened with the Steelers the last 2 years or the last year. Le'Veon Bell sat out an entire season. Arguably the second most important player on the Steelers. You can make a case he was more important than Antonio Brown, considering he can run the football, catch passes. This is a guy that averages like 300 touches a game.
Yep.
A season, right? He sits out an entire year. Antonio Brown comes out and says, I don't want to be here, and the whole fiasco takes place. It's unprecedented. It's something that we've never seen before. And I think people that are, you might not agree. I don't agree with everything Antonio Brown did to get out of Pittsburgh or the way he did it.
But he did what he had to do.
Not showing up to practice in the final week. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with, you know, some of the stuff he said. But here's the thing about the Steelers. To me, the biggest problem in Pittsburgh has been the way Ben Roethlisberger has been treated and how much he's been allowed to get away with compared to any other player.
Yep.
Let's recap this. Give me about a minute of your time, right?
All right.
Or 30 seconds. Let's go back to last year at this time. What was Ben Roethlisberger doing? Contemplating retirement. Last offseason, Ben Roethlisberger was contemplating retirement. He was non-committal to coming back. Now, to me, he's 35, 36 years old.
Yeah.
He has every right to do that. I think that the NFL players play a dangerous game. You have every right at that age to sit back and sort of, and especially a guy like Roethlisberger who has gotten injured a lot, you know, the shoulder injuries, the concussions.
Always in a walking boot.
Yeah, you always, to me, he had every right to take as much time as he wanted to on that, right? Ultimately, he decided to come back. What did the Steelers do in the draft? In the third round, right, they took a quarterback named Mason Rudolph. How did Ben Roethlisberger respond? He said he essentially publicly ripped the Steelers organization, and you guys can all look this up, for saying, how does drafting this quarterback in the third round help us win now?
Yep.
Well, Ben, you just spent an entire offseason contemplating retirement. The Steelers shouldn't try to get a young quarterback in here using a late. It's not like they traded up in the first round to get him. They used a third round pick on Mason Rudolph. So he ripped them publicly. He rips the organization publicly right there, right? For drafting a quarterback. Essentially makes it an awkward situation in the quarterback room because Mason Rudolph walked in and
they won.
And Ben Roethlisberger doesn't really like him or doesn't like the fact that he's in there. Then during the season, countless time or during the training camp and the whole Le'Veon Bell situation was going on, Ben Roethlisberger essentially ripped Bell many times. And he wasn't the only one. There were other guys in the locker room, but Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback. He's the face of the franchise, the leader, yada, yada, yada. And essentially, I think led or maybe Bell, I'm sure it impacted him, the fact that his teammates weren't as supportive of his decision. And then during the season, after, you know, you can look up the games. He ripped certain players, ripped Antonio Brown after the Denver game. And another interesting one was James Washington, who was the Steelers. I believe they took him in the second round. He was a receiver. Ben sort of questioned his effort on a play in a game. I think it was a Denver game as well. So he was our team's second round pick. And Ben Roethlisberger ripped another rookie publicly as well on his weekly radio show. So not only does he rip the team for drafting a quarterback, he rips the second round rookie wide receiver for lack of effort, in his opinion.
And let's also not forget that, if there's any indication of a toxic locker room, it's that when yes. Le'Veon Bell is holding out and announces that he's not going to camp, there are rampant social media videos of them looting his locker.
And that's not even the end of this whole Ben Roethlisberger thing. What does Ben Roethlisberger do next, right? After the season, you know, he says everything is fine with AB. Did he make any concerted effort to reach out to Antonio Brown and say, hey, let's work on our relationship? Did he make any public comment about, you know, this Antonio Brown situation? Because Brown said a lot of things, right? He said a lot of things about Ben. He said, essentially, I want out because Ben Roethlisberger is the problem here and I don't want to play with him anymore, right? So Ben never came out, never once said, I mean, I'm sure if he reached out to Antonio Brown, I'm sure, you know, Antonio, there could have been a possibility of reconciliation. That never happened. And then Antonio Brown says that in a tweet that says, yeah, it's a respect thing. He has this ownership mentality. And then the GM comes out and basically says, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger has 52 other kids. Essentially confirming what Antonio Brown has been saying this entire time. So to me, the problem surrounds the treatment of Ben Roethlisberger, the amount of stuff he's able to get away with. And this is stuff that he's done publicly. We don't know what he does at practice. We don't know what he does in the locker room. Are there more players in that Steel locker room that feel the same way? I think there are. But the Steelers right now have a big issue. They have a quarterback who's aging, still playing at a high level, but they lost Antonio Brown. They're going to lose Le'Veon Bell. There's a lot of question marks there. And Ben is seemingly allowed to, you know, criticize any move the Steelers make. And he's able to critique and criticize any player he wants.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't work that way. There's grown men in that locker room and you calling them, the GM calling them kids.
Bad look.
Very bad. Very bad.
All right. Some free agency talk.
Yes. I'll let you start.
Let me start.
Yeah. Where do you think? I mean, obviously we know the defense is going to be the talk of free agency for the Giants. Yep. They're going to get a pass rusher. The one thing about the OV trade was getting rid of, you know, that top-notch pass rusher, or the top-notch pass rusher the Giants had. You know that a corresponding move is coming.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, you know, possibly a trade for a D Ford. Who knows what they have in mind? I think something is coming. That I think OV's replacement is coming, and he's not going to be. It's not going to be a, you know, it's going to be, I think, a big contract as well. So where that comes from, I don't know. But you know they're going to spend money on that defense, and you can essentially pick wherever spot you want to go. Secondary, defensive line, linebacker.
Yeah.
But it's coming. I wouldn't spend big on a right tackle. Like Darrell Williams to me, like I wouldn't do that. Simply because you have a lot of money invested into your offense. And on the offensive line, you got Nate Solder, who's, you know, the highest paid tackle in football. And you got Kevin Zeitler, who's one of the highest paid offensive guards in football. And then you have a second round pick in Will Hernandez. And Jalapio is obviously the one, you know, guy that you didn't, you know, you aren't spending big on. You didn't give up a draft pick for. So the right tackle needs to be something like that. I think a bargain bin free agent on a 1-year deal or whatever. And then possibly in the draft, you know, maybe you get one in the later rounds or a second round pick, whatever. And then, you know, you bring back Chad Wheeler and you have a competition. You see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, there's also the possibility of them obviously drafting a tackle in, you know, at 37 if they don't move that pick.
Right.
Especially because of how much defensive talent's in the draft. I mean, there's going to be a run of defensive guys. I would say between 5th and 14th overall, there's going to be a lot of defensive guys taken. So I think there's a good amount of potential for some offensive tackles to slip. You know, there's Cody Ford, there's Andre Dillard, there's Dalton Risner. There's a bunch of guys, some guys you can even get in the third round if the Giants want to trade up a couple of their fourth and fifth round picks. David Edwards out of Wisconsin. You know, but I sort of agree with you. And also apparently Jaymon Brown can play right tackle. I don't think he's the long-term solution there, but hey, if you need a guy who can play both guard and tackle, I've been preaching for weeks now. He's a good depth guy and they should bring him back if the price is right.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Definitely bring back Jaymon Brown. But do you think that they will spend big on the safety position?
Like, no.
Do you sense?
No.
Like, Earl Thomas is not coming, right?
We can
get that out of the way. Tyrann Mathieu?
No, I don't think so. I think if you were not willing to pay Landon Collins, I just don't think they'd be willing to pay someone with a much more extensive injury history like Tyrann Mathieu
about
has.
A LaMarcus Joyner?
Sure.
You know, haha, Clinton Dix.
How much is Amos getting, do you think, from Bears?
So Sports, one of these over the cap, I think it was, they marketed his value at $8 million a year.
Okay.
But that could, I mean, that.
That's going to be higher.
It could be $10 million.
$10 million,
I mean, I think we spoke about this. Like, the amount of teams that have an insane amount of cap space is wild. Like, the Colts and the Jets have a lot of cap space. But there's a lot of teams that have, like, $50-60 million in cap space, like, and there's like a lot of teams that have 40. So I think a lot of these guys are going to get paid, especially the pass rushers, because if you're Preston Smith, you love the fact that DeMarcus Lawrence got tagged.
Yep.
Frank Clark got tagged.
Yeah. As soon as the market dries up.
Yeah. Jadeveon Clowney got tagged. So Trey Flowers and Preston Smith and Darius Smith, they're going to get paid.
Yep.
Because they're essentially the top edge rushers available. So they're going to get a lot of money. One sort of under the radar guy that I think could be in play for the Giants is KJ Wright. I know he's a little bit up there in age, but he sort of seems like a good locker room guy. You can bring in, be a leader of the defense.
Yep.
But I sort of think that they could possibly make a run at Tyrann Mathieu just because his experience in Betcher's defense.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see what happens there. Because obviously he could get an insane. I think the safety market, it's going to be interesting because I think the first domino is Earl Thomas. And once that falls, then it's going to be probably like Landon Collins.
Yeah, I agree. I was actually having this conversation last night. Collins is not set in the market.
No, it's going to be Earl. Like, I think it's going to be, they're going to be viewed differently. I think you're going to see the coverage guys possibly get the lump sum first, and then Collins, and, you know, sort of those other sort of box safeties coming.
Right.
But I think it'll be Earl Thomas first. Where do you think Earl Thomas goes?
I have no clue.
It's not going to be Dallas.
I was going to say the same thing.
Could it be he goes to Indianapolis? But they have a, you know, they have Malik Hooker there.
Man.
So it's like, where does Earl Thomas go? New England? Is New England going to give up that much for safety?
I mean, I don't know. So my train of thought is, you know, it's tough to find like a perfect spot for him, right? Because he obviously wants to get the bag, but he's 30 coming off an injury, right? You know, mm-hmm. he's probably got like a few good years left. That's it. He also wants a ring. I don't know like who sort of fits that mold.
Baltimore?
Maybe. Quarterback on a rookie deal?
I thought it could be the LA Rams, but they went out and got Eric Weddle.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe the 49ers?
Maybe.
You know?
Division rival?
Kansas City? You know, they're going to have cap space. It's interesting. I'm interested to see where he goes. I don't think Dallas is going to give him that big contract.
How long do you think it's going to take for these bigger chips to fall?
I think it's going to be right away because teams have so much cap space.
Yeah.
Like, who's the best free agent on the market right now? Don't take out the guys that were tagged.
Take out the guys that were tagged.
Yeah. So no Clowney, Ford, Frank Clark,
Lawrence, DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yeah, take all those out.
Man, the best. I mean, Earl Thomas is up there.
Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I just didn't want to. Yeah.
I mean, Grady Jarrett got tagged.
Frank Clark got tagged.
Yep. So you got Le'Veon Bell.
Dante Fowler.
Is he better than Trey Flowers?
Yeah.
So you got, you're saying it's going to be, like, to me, it's Earl Thomas at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, he's up there. Earl Thomas.
Le'Veon Bell.
Dante Fowler. Hell, even Nick Foles, even though we know already. But
Trent Brown, the tackle from the Patriots. You know, Ronald Darby.
I'm just, looking through this list. It's like
C.J. Mosley, Anthony Barr. I mean, there's a lot of...
All-time mentor John Stewart.
Yeah. You know who a receiver that's going to get paid? Tyrell Williams.
Yep.
He's sort of the far and away, to me, the best receiver on the market. I think him and Golden Tate, but I'd sort of lean toward him because he's younger.
But again, another guy who's going to get, what, like 7 mil?
Tyrell Williams?
Yeah, what's his over the cap projection?
Oh, I think he's going to get, he's a 27-year-old receiver who, coming off a great season, I think he's going to get well over 11, 12 million a year.
Oh, God, that's not worth it.
But that's the thing, there's an insane amount of cap space available. I think he is going to get paid.
I'm sorting this right now. Let's see. Tyrell. He's not even showing up on this. There we go.
Like there's going to be
market value 9.6.
Yeah, so he's in, I think, 10 million.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, but I think that's where it's headed.
A plus money for B plus talent.
Yeah, A plus money for C level talent.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. But I'm interested to see what unfolds. Excited. Yeah. I'll have the Shefty notifications on, Rapport notifications on.
It starts tomorrow. I think, and it's also interesting because, you know, while there isn't that many great defensive players available, like outside of the safeties, the draft is heavy on defensive talent.
Right, exactly.
So it's like,
especially pass rush.
Yeah, so it's like, so will these teams actually break the bank? I mean, I know they got that much cap space, but with a draft that's loaded with pass rushers, does that impact it? So maybe they don't get as much as we think they're going to make. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week. I definitely think the Giants will be in position for – they can sign any player they want. It's just going to be interesting to see what happens. I would circle Zendarius Smith. I would circle, you know, Tyrann Mathieu. I will circle Preston Smith as well. And then I will circle, you know, potentially Anthony Barr. But he's more of a 4-3 guy.
Yeah.
And in terms of the offensive line and offense, I don't think you're going to see them spend big on a right tackle. And I agree that they shouldn't.
All righty. Let's get into some questions.
Sure.
From Josh, both of you should pick a fast food place you'll eat dinner at for a week straight. If Gettleman actually gets Rosen, hat tip to Dizdeer. What's your favorite fast food joint?
Fast food. I'm not really a fast food guy.
Me neither. I very rarely eat it. The only time I eat fast food is when I'm traveling. Chick-fil-A is my number one.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chick-fil-A too. I hate McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. I hate those type of places. I don't. I watched this one video and it just grossed me out.
Oh, I know exactly which video you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Chipotle's up there, even though that's pretty gross. But yeah, I would say Chick-fil-A's the spot.
All right. So I'm picking Chick-fil-A, although they're not too easy to find in New York City. So McDonald's will be my backup.
Oh, I got one like 2 minutes away from my house. Doesn't have a drive-thru though, which sucks. But
yeah. Oh boy, this is from Jake. You're stuck on a private island and you have to read one person's tweets for the rest of your life, and your choices are Pat Trena and Pat Leonard. Who are you choosing?
Oh my god.
It's easy for me.
Yeah, I'm reading Pat Leonard.
Me too, because he tweets way less.
Yeah, and although it's the rumors that he likes to put out, his opinions sort of, I hate to say it, but his opinions sort of make sense.
Well, listen, if I'm stuck on a deserted island, I could use his Odell rumors to like fuel myself with rage to get off.
To swim.
Exactly.
To swim, yeah, back to...
Build a boat big enough to get me to safety.
Man, oh man.
All right. From Chan, what should be done at right tackle now that 80% of the line is at least serviceable? How should pass rusher be addressed? Do you really think next year is Eli's last as a Giant? And what do you make of Skip saying he'd rather have Amari Cooper instead of AB? Matt with four questions. We sort of talked about right tackle and the pass rushers and free agency. I also sort of gave my take on Eli's last year as a Giant. I think it is. I hope it is. All I'm saying is that the argument will be there that he's still got something left in the tank because of how bad the defense is and how improved the offense is.
I think the only way Eli Manning comes back next year is if they don't draft the quarterback. If they don't draft a quarterback this year, and they get to the playoffs next year.
Yeah.
So you figure out your percentages based on that.
Yeah. All right. From Anthony, ranked the New York Giant beat writers.
Oh man, you should have hit me with that one.
I'm not gonna
rank them, but I'll say this.
All right.
I'll say this, and you can figure out my taste.
This is very political. I love it.
There are a group of beat writers that will find any critique with any move the Giants make. And there are beat writers that will never critique anything the Giants ever do.
Yes.
So based on that, I'll let you put together my list.
I'll be less political. It's Art Stapleton, number one, Dan Duggan, number two, and then everyone else. I'll put Ron on three.
Yeah.
And then everyone else.
Jordan Rondon is like the harsh reality.
Yes.
You know, like he's been telling us for a while.
Yeah.
Even in the beginning when I didn't agree with it, it's essentially turning out to be true.
I mean, listen, I can be bought, you know? Jordan hit my line. I can be bought. You can easily be number one in the rankings next podcast. Just slide into my DMs.
Yes.
Give me a scoop or two, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, we got a scenario one from Jordan. Oh, boy.
Sure.
I'm going to lay out a bunch of scenarios. Trade for Rosen and keep six for a defensive stud. Keep Eli and wait for next year's draft class. Draft Haskins and Kyler, even if it means trading up. Go defense at six and look for Jones Locke in the second round.
This is what I would do.
I mean, number one is my favorite. I'm just going to say that right there. Trade for Rosen and use defense six. Condition on Eli being released.
Yeah, I think if you trade for Josh Rosen, Eli Manning is gone because you can't waste another year.
Agree.
Of Josh Rosen's rookie contract. But I wouldn't just stay at six. I would look to move back
10 or 13.
Accumulate more picks. Yeah, get to 10, maybe even get to 13. Accumulate maybe multiple second round picks. You know, give yourself more ammo there. So that's what I would do. Because remember, maneuvering in the draft, I think, is a great thing. So hypothetically, you get Rosen for, what is it, 37?
Yeah.
You go from 6 to 10 and get, you know, an extra second. Maybe you get more, another second next year, whatever. And then you have enough ammo where you can jump back in to the first round if you really want to get a defensive player, because you feel as though, you know, you don't want to wait until the second round because of that fifth year option. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So here's, so I like where your head's at, right? So let's play out this scenario. And I'm honestly sort of thinking on the fly right now. Mm-hmm. The Giants, and let's, I mean, this even works without the sort of far-fetched scenario of them actually trading for Rosen. But if they move from 6 to 10 or 13, get, you know, a second and a third. I mean, I'm just trying to think what the Jets got by moving up, what was it, like 3 spots last year. They had to give up 3 seconds.
Yeah, 3 seconds.
So to move up 7 or 10 slots. Sorry, my math is way off there. To move up 4 or 7 slots, you know, second and a third is pretty good price, right? So you still have your first round pick. Use it on defense. And here's the thing that a lot of people, I feel like, don't realize is a very, very good tight end draft.
Yes.
On top of the fact that it's a very good defense draft. So you can still get a defensive stud at 10 or 13 because someone's going to fall right into your lap, especially with, you know, both Kyler and Haskins projected to go early. So you can get, you know, all right, so let's do that. Ready? They trade back to 10 or 13. They get the extra second and a third. That's that's 3 day 1 starters, likely at least 2 on the defensive side of the ball right there.
And let's say they get to 10 and they get a guy like Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about Ed Oliver, but I love Ed Oliver.
He's very good. So let's, I feel like I've heard some iffy things about his personality, but.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get to Ed Oliver, and then in the second round, you know, you got an extra pick and you start, you know, you look at potentially, you know, a Deontay Thompson, right? Guy that was high on a lot of boards, but then sort of fell. Maybe a Jakachi Polite, who didn't have a great combine. You know, so there's a lot of ways they could approach this. A Julian Love, and I'm just throwing out names that could fill holes on the defense. So, yeah, like you said, you could essentially get 2-3 day one starters on your defense. So, yeah, that's that would be the dream scenario for me. If they can get, you know, Josh Rosen. Because to me, Rosen and Haskins are very similar. I know Haskins would come in and, you know, have the full rookie contract. But giving up 38 for Josh Rosen, I think, is – yeah, it's a steal for the Giants.
Yeah, it's sort of falling ass backwards into
this is a guy that I thought was the best quarterback in the draft last year. And I'm not going to get away from that prediction just yet, although Baker was really impressive. But
he was my second.
Yeah, right. I just think Rosen is a very tough spot last year. A coach that was fired after year one, an offensive coordinator that was gone after like the sixth game.
Yeah.
He was in a tough spot. That team had no talent. So, yeah, to me, that would be a perfect scenario for the Giants. If they're able to get Rosen for that second-round pick and then take 6 and trade back and accumulate more picks.
What are your thoughts on the Kyler Murray stuff coming out of, you know, the combine and the interviews and that he was unprepared and this, that, thing?
I'm not buying it. This is one thing I hate is that teams leak this stuff because they like, I think right now, I think the Raiders really want Kyler Murray.
Okay.
I think they're really, I'm not going to say really want him, but they're really impressed by him and are hoping that he's there at 4. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are, I think they're still in the evaluation process. I don't think they've made a decision one way or the other. I definitely don't think Cliff Kingsbury is walking around Indianapolis saying, oh, it's a done deal, we're taking Kyler Murray. Like, that's just bogus. But I think there's some truth to it. He's definitely in the mix, and potentially Josh Rosen could become available. I'm personally of the belief that I think that the draft, it needs to be moved up, because all this talk and all this nonsense that comes out, it's such a waste of time, and everyone has a motive, you know,
right,
depending on who you get the information from. A team that really, really likes a prospect might publicly rip them in the media, and I just don't think that's right. I mean, I get that you want the player to fall, and I get it's a tactic used, but publicly ripping a player because of his interview or because, you know, just these nonsense type of stuff. I think Kyler Murray is going to be a great quarterback in the league. I think if he goes to Arizona, you know, he'll fit what Cliff Kingsbury wants to do. If he goes to Oakland, I think he'll be a great ad for John Gruden. I just don't like some of the stuff that I hear. Oh, he was this, he was that. And then, you know, it's just nonsense. Like, I put myself in the player, in the prospect shoes, like all this stuff coming out about you. And, you know, we're not fair weather fans, but there's a lot of fair weather NFL fans that when they just read any garbage, you know, they'll just believe it.
Right.
You know, so it's not a good look for the player, and it's not a good look for the NFL, in my opinion, when this type of stuff gets leaked out like that or being said. I don't really like that.
Yeah.
So I think they should move up the draft. Just get it out the way. I wouldn't be mad if they do it first before free agency. Like, you have the draft and then you have free agency. I think I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah. Draft and then free. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Trying to see if there are any other quick questions.
These are like 20, 21 year old kids that, you know, publicly talking about their character and whether or not they were good at, like, you know, that's just not right. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I just don't get a good vibe from that. Like,
nature of the game.
I get that. Yeah. It's what the NFL does, the tactic that teams want to use. But it just rubs me the wrong way a little bit.
Well, last quick one from Sean. Should the Giants look at running back, wide receiver, tight end depth in the draft? Yes.
Definitely wide receiver.
Definitely.
And I won't be surprised if they take a wide receiver earlier than what people expect.
Yeah.
Just because after this year, they only have Odell under contract as a receiver.
Exactly.
I mean, Shepard's a free agent. Corey Coleman's on a one-year tender. You know, so, won't not be surprised if they look at wide receiver fairly earlier than expected in this draft.
Yeah. That's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. That's it. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited for today. If you're listening,
please no running back mentors early in free agency.
Yeah, and please no Thomas Davis.
Yeah, like I wouldn't mind.
I get it. Someone's got to use the Dave Gettleman scholarship contract, but like, please, come on. We've already got an old, overpaid guy on the linebacker payroll.
Let's wait. Sort of like that's a move. Thomas Davis is a move you make in the summertime.
Sure.
Get him on a 1 year deal. You know, not now. Not on the first day of free agency. No. Not a multi year contract.
No, give me offensive line depth.
Yeah.
Give me a shockingly good value contract for a right tackle.
Give me a good edge rusher.
Right.
Give me a good defensive player. How about that?
Someone you can build around.
I lived with the Nate Solder contract because you have to do it.
Necessary evil.
Yeah.
Of years of bad drafting.
Let me get a good defensive player and let me get...
Well, you know, Marshall Newhouse and Bobby Hart are both free agents. Maybe we could bring them in and see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely not. But I wouldn't mind like a LeAdrian Waddle or
bringing the Patriots duo.
Like a 1 year deal, you know, and just have him compete with the draft pick and with Chad Wheeler. Like, how about we find our own Andrew Noel, right? Like, how about we not have to use
must be nice
second round picks and $10 million contracts to fill out our offensive line?
Yes. That would be nice.
Yes.
All right, that's all we got. Subscribe, iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Follow us on Twitter, Ethan GSN, NYG Daily, Gotham SN. Subscribe, 5 stars, you know the deal. That's it. We'll talk to you guys throughout the week and next week.
Take care. Peace.